Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change while supplies last.
Cody and Gold here on 96.5 The Fan. Thanksgiving holiday, surprise, surprise, Cody and Alex are taking some time off. Logan Weber in here with you alongside producer for the program, as always, Drew Nixon. We're going to have Ross Tucker on with us in just a moment. That was an interesting conversation that we had with Nate, obviously. The one thing I didn't have a chance to get to with him was talking about the red zone struggles for the Chiefs. Because if you just look at them overall for the season, they're in the top half of the league. They're 14th in red zone conversion percentage. But over the last 4 weeks, they're converting at a 30% clip. It's been that bad. And yeah, of course, Sunday was no different. 1-for-6 in the red zone. But on the line with us right now is Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. And I want to get to the NFL as a whole, obviously, Ross. But before I do that, I want to get your perspective on Sunday's game, because for the first time all year, we've heard the complaints about the Chiefs winning ugly. But this was the first time this season that we've seen them finally get that one score win that they've been vying for so long. What do you make of that performance on Sunday? And is it something that you could buy into moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's not really as much about winning the one score game. I think that those things have a way of evening themselves out a little bit. I think it's frankly bizarre that they won 15 in a row and then lost 5 in a row. You know, it's not supposed to work that way. I would say with Mahomes and Andy Reid that they probably should win, you know, close to 75% of those probably, but it's usually more like win 2, lose 1, you know, like that, as opposed to all at one time. I think what was more important to me about this game is they were clearly the better team. You know, I mean, Latu gets the interception and the Colts score off of that. But when you look at the statistics and Hunt rushing for over 100 yards and what Mahomes was able to do, you know, obviously they had to dig deep to ultimately get the win late. And it would have been disastrous if they lost it. But my point would be, they clearly outplayed the Colts. They were clearly the better team in the game, and that's probably what matters the most, because there's a decent chance these teams play against each other in the playoffs. You know, for them to go out there and hold that Colts team to what they did, I don't know what the total yardage was, but it felt like, you know, the Chiefs outgained them by 100 or 200 yards. I mean, they were pretty clearly the better squad.
And, you know, asking you just briefly here about the conversation that I was having at the beginning of the segment, which is the red zone issues. You know, this is a Chiefs team that seems to be the best in the league from their own 20-yard line to the opponent's 20-yard line. And then it seemingly stalls out. You know, they struggled against Denver in the red zone, struggled even worse against Indianapolis in the red zone. Is there a huge level of concern there, or is that something that people should believe that Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and this Chiefs team can sort through here over the last month or so of the season?
Definitely a level of concern. I don't really understand how they're struggling like this. I mean, you're talking about maybe, if not the best red zone quarterback I've ever seen, one of the best red zone quarterbacks I've ever seen, if not the best red zone tight end, maybe you'd say Gronkowski, one of the best red zone tight ends in Kelce. And guys, I don't know that there's ever been a more creative play caller in the red zone than Andy Reid. You think about some of the shovel passes, whatever that one ring around the rosy thing they did the one time. I mean, the amount of different creativity that they have had in the red zone over the years is phenomenal, which makes what's happened so far this year really so head-scratching, because they have a lot of the elements that you would want or think to have in terms of having a great red zone offense.
And looking at it overall, you know, it's been a topic of conversation, obviously nationwide, but especially here in the metro area, about, do the Chiefs make the playoffs? What's the confidence level, 1 through 10, that Kansas City is going to be able to get into the postseason? With that win over Indianapolis, you know, are you feeling better about their playoff chances, the same, or even worse by chance?
No, I'm definitely not feeling worse. I mean, I think that'd be impossible. I think I'd be feeling pretty bad about it, actually, if they had lost. But the fact that they found a way to win, I feel much better about it. I'd be surprised if they don't make the playoffs. I mean, I know there's a lot of competition, but I'm not buying Jacksonville over the Chiefs. I'm not really buying the Texans or the Steelers. And I think the Chiefs, you know, still even probably have the upper hand against the Chargers. So I'd be very surprised if the Chiefs and the Bills don't find their way into the postseason. Now, I think it's going to be as a wild card, but I do think the Chiefs, scale 1 to 10, I would say, I don't know, 8.5, probably, maybe 9 is how confident I would be in the Chiefs making the playoffs.
There's a lot of Chiefs fans, I guarantee you, that just got very excited hearing you say that. But you mentioned, you know, the competition around the league, and I kind of want to go a little bit more big picture. You know, we're constantly debating week after week after week, who are the contenders, the true teams that you believe can get to and or win a Super Bowl in the National Football League this year. And it's very different than it's been in years past. You know, who are those 3 or 4 teams? Maybe you have more than that on your list of teams that you truly believe could hoist a Lombardi or even compete for one coming up in late January and February.
Right. So the number one team right now in the NFL, and I've been saying this on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, I do power rankings every Tuesday, so it's actually good timing to come on the show today. I've had the Rams number one for about a month now, and I don't think that they're just the best team. I think they're the best team probably by a decent margin. I think they are that good. So I would put them as number one in terms of Super Bowl contenders. I think you still have to have Philadelphia in that situation with just how talented they are and their pedigree. Some of these other teams, Chicago, Tampa, you know, the Niners, I don't see it. And then even Green Bay and Detroit, you know, I think they're good enough to maybe, you know, go on a run, but something feels like it's missing for them to actually, you know, be Super Bowl contenders. And I think the Seahawks are very good, but, you know, I have a tough time picturing Sam Darnold winning, you know, 3 road playoff games, which is what it looks like it would take right now. So in the NFC, I'm pretty high on the Rams and then to a lesser extent the Eagles. The AFC feels to me more wide open. You know, I could see it being whoever gets the number one seed. Let's say it's the Patriots or the Broncos. They're obviously going to have a heck of a chance. But I still think that if I'm saying legit contenders, I'm still going Baltimore, Buffalo, Kansas City, probably even ahead of New England, Denver, despite what we've seen this year.
I'm with you on that, and I am in complete agreement with you when it comes to the Los Angeles Rams. I think Matthew Stafford, if the season were to end right now, would probably be the MVP of the NFL this year. Talking about the AFC in general, you know, it's a very different league than we're accustomed to seeing. You know, the Patriots, the Broncos, the Colts right now sitting as the top three seeds. You know, of those three teams, which one do you think has the best opportunity to hoist the one seed in the AFC and get home field advantage throughout the playoffs?
Probably the Patriots because of their schedule. You know, although, you know, them losing both the linemen on the left side of their line for a while now, that's going to hurt. I mean, that will absolutely set them back a little bit. But I would still say it's probably the Patriots. The Broncos are going to still have some tough games, you know, against the Chiefs, against the Chargers. You know, I think the Patriots only have to play the Bills one more time. They've had the easiest schedule to date. They have the easiest schedule moving forward. So I'll go New England, which, I mean, that's going to make it tough to go up to New England in January and, you know, they only have to win two home games. I mean, they have a chance. I think that a lot of times you kind of have to walk before you run in the playoffs. So I'm not convinced that they're going to be able to get it done, but it certainly gives them an opportunity.
Visiting with our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker. And last night, Ross, we saw one of the Monday Night Football games of all time, an ugly 20-9 win for the Niners over the Carolina Panthers. You know, what do you make of those two teams? Because right now they're both in the playoff hunt as things stand right now. Niners are 8-4. The Carolina Panthers are a very surprising 6-6. Do you think either of those teams gets into the postseason? And if they do they stand any kind of a chance to compete?
You know, I don't think the Carolina Panthers get there, although they have a chance to win that division now, especially based on Baker Mayfield's injury. That will be something to keep an eye on. I do think the Niners have a pretty good chance to make the postseason now. I mean, they've gotten 8 wins. Now they have a bye, so they can get healthier after this game against Cleveland. But they're decent favorites against the Browns, which means they have an excellent chance now at this point to get to 9-4 before the bye when they start to heal up. So I'm a believer in the Niners making the playoffs. I just think that they lost too much to actually go for a chance to win the Super Bowl.
So we kind of got big picture there for a minute. I kind of want to come back to the Chiefs for just a moment. This Thursday game against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving out in Arlington. You know, this is two of the best offenses in the National Football League against one of the worst defenses in the Dallas Cowboys. You know, what do you make of this performance for the Chiefs? What's it going to take to get a victory in this one playing against a team, like I said, that is a true dichotomy with a top five offense against a bottom three defense in the league?
Yeah, well, the Cowboys defense is much better than that now. You know, I would not put a lot of stock in them, you know, their overall ranking for the season, because since they've gotten their safeties and Overshown back from injury, since they traded for Quinnen Williams and Logan Wilson, they are much, much better on that side of the ball. They showed that in the second half against Philly on Sunday. They're playing with a lot more confidence. So you've got that part of it. And then the other part of it is their offense is legitimately that good. I mean, George Pickens is on an unbelievable tear right now, and that is what they're going to have to deal with. They're going to have to deal with Pickens, and, you know, the Chiefs have pretty good secondary, pretty good corner, but they're going to be tested for sure.
I like that perspective. I really, that's a different perspective than we've heard here in Kansas City, and I really like that point of view that you bring. Ross, appreciate you taking the time here this morning. Insightful as always.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. That is our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker, joining us here on the program. Yeah, that's something that I hadn't heard. And really, it's an interesting point. Nobody seems to have wanted to talk about it, myself included, about just how much better the Cowboys offense has been over the last month since the deadline and bringing in Quinnen Williams and Logan Wilson. Plus, I think maybe even more importantly, he mentioned getting their safeties back healthy, Donovan Wilson and Malik Hooker back with the team, because that's been the biggest problem for Dallas this year, has been their secondary. Like I said, I believe that they are 30th. I think they're third worst in the NFL in terms of passing yards per game allowed. I'm curious how much that's changed. I'd like to get into the numbers and see the splits on how that's been different over the last month since getting a guy on your front line, getting a guy in the linebacking core, and then your secondary getting a little bit more healthy. Real quickly, before we get into what would normally be like our trash of the day, is the Dallas Cowboys schedule, or I shouldn't say the Cowboys schedule, the Chiefs schedule for the rest of the year, including this game against Dallas on Thursday. You know, the biggest thing I'll point out, a lot of home games from here on out for the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, they've got three road games remaining, three home games remaining, but those three road games are this Thursday against Dallas, a team that's playing better football of late. But then it's the Titans and the Raiders. The Titans are bad, despite the fact that I think Cam Ward is a legitimate talent at the quarterback position. I absolutely stand by that. I think Cam Ward can be a really good quarterback in this league. But the Titans are a dumpster fire around him. Fired their head coach, the whole nine yards, right? And then that Week 18 game against the Raiders on the road, who just fired their offensive coordinator in Chip Kelly less than a year into his tenure, showing Chip Kelly once again, just stay in college, man. It worked there. Mm-hmm. It's never worked in the NFL. Stop trying it. Just stop.
That $6 million he was offered or whatever, I think, is what brought him to the Raiders.
Yeah, but good Lord.
I do agree. It is, some coaches are just meant to be in college, and they work better in college, and Brian Kelly definitely is one of those guys, yeah. I suppose, but Chip Kelly, yes, is definitely one of those guys.
Man should have just retired as the head coach at Oregon 10 years. He just should have just stayed at Oregon, man. You had a great thing going when you were with the Ducks, and ever since then, things have gone drastically downhill. But looking at the rest of the schedule for the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, Titans, Raiders, those are two games you feel great about, obviously. Mm-hmm. The rest of these games are obviously ones that you're sort of clutching your pearls at a little bit. The Chargers game, I feel much better about than I did a month ago, especially watching Jacksonville just manhandle them the way that they did 2 weekends ago, which I didn't expect to see coming.
No.
The Cowboys game on Thursday, I do have reservations about, you know, and that was before we talked with Ross, especially now, you know, mentioning the additions of Quinnen Williams and Logan Wilson and the DBs getting healthy. Okay, that changes your perspective a little bit. I still feel like the Chiefs are the better football team, and, you know, they found something in the second half of that game, offensively and defensively, that I think that you can use as motivation moving forward. We'll see how it all shakes out. Both teams have injury issues. You know, they're both a little bit banged up. George Pickens didn't practice yesterday for Dallas. We'll see if it changes at all today. It probably won't, but I still think he plays Thursday. Mm-hmm. The Texans game, I feel infinitely worse about that game than I did a month ago.
Just because of the defense for Houston?
The defense is so good. And the offense has been playing better, despite the fact that Davis Mills has been their starting quarterback. You know, I am still not holding my breath on them getting Joe Mixon back at any point, you know, but the Damian Pierce move, I found that kind of interesting of like, okay, are they trying to free up a spot on the roster for potentially Joe Mixon, another running back? I don't know.
Yeah.
Their running game doesn't scare me though. Woody Marks and Nick Chubb have been ineffective at best at times this season. But the wide receivers have gotten more comfortable. We've seen Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel become mm-hmm. much more fluid in this offense paired with Nico Collins, you know, that good tight end and Dalton Schultz. And so I think that there's something to be said for Houston, and that defense is the best in the league. You know, everybody's talking about Denver's defense, and rightfully so. They got a shot to set an all-time record for sacks in a season. But in terms of team defense, the Houston Texans are the best in football.
Yeah, that I think to your point, that game just screams 20-17.
Yeah, just a slugfest. Yeah, just like six field goals total in that game.
Two really good defenses, and whichever one can make more stops ends up winning the game. It just feels like that's the way that it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
It's weird though. Like, so before the season, like, I picked them to go 5-5, and then win out from here. Things changed just based on on how a team looks, and it doesn't feel like. Like, they've obviously struggled more in close games and haven't been able to win, but it doesn't. This team feels the same as last year, but they're not winning the close games. That's the difference. Where I think a lot of things that we were fed were, hey, the offense is going to look so much better because we're going to have the full complement of wide receivers. We're going to be running up and down the field. The deep ball is going to be back. It's going to look flashy, and we just haven't seen that. And really, for the most part, up until this game, the Chiefs roster, particularly on offense, has been really healthy.
Yeah.
And we just haven't seen it all click. And I know that Rasheed obviously had a great game and a great second half, but something just feels not bad about this team, but it doesn't. I don't know if we're ever going to get that offense that they were promising or making it seem like we were going to get before the season started, where they're going to be in a lot of one-score games once again. And I don't know why. Maybe it's going back to what Nate said. They don't get off to good starts. They are very similar to the Missouri Tigers. I tweeted that out on Sunday. I was like, hey, is this team the Kansas City Chiefs the Missouri Tigers in the fact that these boys can't score, and the defense is literally keeping them in the game. Eventually, they figured it out and they won the game, like the Missouri Tigers have not been able to do. But this gives off very much shades of the Missouri Tigers of. If you can get off to a good start on offense, like if the Chiefs scored a touchdown on Sunday and they were up 7-0, they're probably winning the game. I think you feel confident if they score first and they're up 7-0 on Thursday. Oh, the Chiefs are winning this football game. If they're down 14-6 or 17-7, they're gonna have to figure it out, and the defense is gonna have to come save the day again. It feels like they've been in the position of last season, where they're having to grind out games and every game is close and it's a nail biter. And unfortunately for them this time around, they haven't been able to win those one score games until now. It doesn't look like anything's easy.
No,
which I think is very frustrating for the fan base, obviously, because, and I know that, again, look, the Lions game, a little bit of an anomaly. The Raiders stink, but being able to see a game against a very good opponent like Denver, like Indy, where, hey, you know what? Let's win the game by 10 points. It actually would feel nice, I'm sure, for the fan base to be able to just kick back and relax and see the Chiefs win 30-20.
Not going to happen.
On Thursday. But it's not, based on what we have seen this season, it's not going to happen.
You know, I'm reminded of a quote from The Office. Identity theft is not a joke, Jim. I don't disagree.
Was it Tony Romo that said that?
Yeah,
because he says Jim
potentially,
all the time.
Yeah. I don't disagree with the Mizzou Chiefs comparison, but I feel like the Missouri Tigers are more or less just stealing the identity of my beloved Iowa Hawkeyes, because they've been doing that since roughly 1981.
That's relatively close.
Of just playing horrendous offense and hoping that the defense bails you out. And that's seemingly what the Chiefs are doing right now, a little bit.
And somebody mentions the Jags game where it was kind of the opposite of that. The offense got off to a good start. It was 14-0, and then they blew that one. But in part, it was the offense's fault that they did it, because Patrick Mahomes threw a pick to Devin Lloyd and took it to the house.
Were up 14-0 and got the ball back with a chance to make it 21-0 and did nothing with the football from there on out.
It feels like nothing is easy. I understand that the offense looked good for 3 weeks. The Bengals' defense has looked good for 3 weeks. They've lost every game because the offense stinks with Joe Flacco the last 2 or 3 weeks. You can get Bryce Young threw for 400 yards last week and put up a dud last night. You can get periods of time where things are okay and they look all right, but in the end, it's been lack of execution, whether it's been defense earlier on in the season or whether it's offense now. Like, I don't know. Maybe it was the Lions game where that's the one game where it felt like everything was clicking on all cylinders. That might be the one game that if you were to circle one on the calendar, that is the single solitary time that the defense and the offense has both been outstanding together at the same time in the same game. Other than that, they haven't had that. So it feels like to me that that's part of the problem that we're seeing. And is that going to change? I don't know. Maybe that's why I asked Nate, is this one of those wins where you get that close win? This is the confidence boost potentially that you need to put it all together. Chris Jones was as focused as he's ever been in that game on Sunday. You saw the defense make plays all throughout. They limited the tight end. Tyler Warren didn't do anything really all day. They did things that they hadn't necessarily been able to do from a collective standpoint against a really good team, except for the one time against the Lions. And as Nate said, the Raiders don't count because that was a preseason game.
Yeah, some people in the text line mentioning the Raiders game, and that's fair, but the Raiders are awful. You know, the Ravens game being mentioned too. Okay, yes, but also that Ravens team was being held together by electrical tape. At that point, you know, everybody besides seemingly Derrick Henry was hurt in that football game for Baltimore. But I completely understand and appreciate the point. 913-586-7965 is our number. Logan Weber in here filling in for Cody and Alex this morning. Here on Cody and Gold, Drew Nixon producing Chiefs Red Half Hour. Coming up next here on 96.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday, yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Find the fan.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
I have to say, Chiefs Red Half Hour is much more entertaining, much more fun for us here in studio if it comes after a win than after a loss. And, you know, a lot more positives, I would say, comes with the territory when you put the W next to your name in the column versus an L. But it's not all great. You know, the Chiefs did win on Sunday, but they had to do it ugly. And specifically, you know, the offense in the red zone for the Kansas City Chiefs is a problem. over the last 3 weeks, the Kansas City Chiefs are converting less than right around 30% of their red zone attempts. You know, on Sunday against Indy, it was 1 for 6. The Chiefs were in the red zone. That means, you know, when they got into the red zone, they only scored a touchdown once in those 6 times. Against the Broncos, 1 for 4 in the red zone. And even against the Bills, you know, while they did score touchdowns on 2 drives in the red zone, it was on 3 attempts. So, you know, take that as what you will. But over the last 3 weeks, they haven't been as effective. You look at the previous 3 weeks there, you know, the Commanders game, the Raiders game, and the Lions in there, much better in the red zone. I think they were 4 for 4 against the Commanders, probably 3 for 3 or 4 for 4 as well against the Raiders. So the red zone issues are a problem. And it was interesting listening to Ross Tucker talk about, you know, how ingenious Andy Reid is in terms of his play calling and how he believes that Patrick Mahomes may be the best red zone quarterback he's ever seen. And Travis Kelce's one of the best red zone targets he's ever seen, and that it's still not working. And I think it's because, well, number one, the number of friggin' penalties that this team has gotten in the red zone on plays where they have scored touchdowns or plays where they have gained big yardage in a red zone situation and it gets called back. You know, the Rashi Rice touchdown, I think maybe 2 of them in that Commanders game that got called back because of penalties. And, you know, the Travis Kelce touchdown that got called back this last Sunday, it just continues to mount that they get these just back-breaking penalties in the red zone, and they end up having to settle for 3 points. And that was, yeah, again, the case on Sunday against the Indianapolis Colts. The first one, the Travis Kelce keeper that was called back on the face mask penalty, which I am in complete agreement with everybody else. It was not a face mask. It was, however, a holding penalty. I know that that's not what they called. And Alex and I had that argument on Sunday at the game. He's like, well, that's not the call that they made. So it was, they shouldn't have made the call. And I'm like, I see where what you're saying.
It's still a penalty.
It was still a hold. Yeah. And regardless,
fair.
Wipes a touchdown off the board. I also think, and this has been a problem for a couple of years now, and sometimes when you have the weapons to make it work, it's great, but it still feels at times like Andy Reid and Matt Nagy are getting cute, too cute in the red zone with all these exotic, interesting, weird packages and, you know, the full house set with Kelce at quarterback and the read option keeper. Did it work? Yeah. Why can't we just go under center? Why not just a simple handoff to the running back? Why do we have to make it this dog and pony show every time they get inside the 10-yard line? Like I said, this team is the best in football when it comes to getting from the 20 to the 20. But inside of either 20-yard line, their own 20 or the opponent's 20, things get really bad really fast.
So you mentioned Ross talked about Patrick Mahomes being the greatest red zone quarterback. Is that because Andy Reid is drawing stuff up for him, or is that because Patrick Mahomes is making magic when there's nothing there, which tends to be the case? It feels like it's more of the latter at times, yeah, where Mahomes is able to do something that not very many other people can do, whether it's with his arm, with his legs, or anything like that. And I think part of the reason why, Logan, is because, like what you said, you're trying too hard. It doesn't have to be rocket science for you to go under center, run the ball for a couple of yards, try a play-action bootleg, and let Mahomes either throw it or just run it in because he's so good at pump faking and everything like that. They also finally did something that I have been begging them to do for 2 years now. It didn't work. Because the pass was bad, actually, ironically enough, is a little out route, a little speed out. Mm-hmm. Rashee beat Sauce Gardner, and if you throw the little back
put it in front of him,
if you put it in front of him, that was a touchdown. Now it was a bad throw, so it wasn't a touchdown. But that is something that I have been begging them to do for the past 2 years, whether it was DeAndre Hopkins or whoever, because they had a guy like a Devontae Adams type, where we've seen for years what Aaron Rodgers did with Devontae Adams. Years in the red zone. The Chiefs, maybe they just don't have that guy, I suppose, but it can be that simple where Patrick Mahomes if you believe that he is the best quarterback in the NFL and can make any throw, why not make it easy? You don't have to put full house formation that we see in college a lot. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do the little shuffle passes. You don't have to do anything. You don't. You can. Somebody texted in. It's Juwan Taylor. Here's the problem. You can take Juwan Taylor out of the equation by having a quick catch, turn, boom, throw it. Juwan Taylor don't even have enough time to hold anybody when it's that fast. He doesn't have any. He doesn't have an opportunity to become the problem if it's that simple. Now it didn't work, but it feels like you're right. I think, Logan, in the fact that it is. It's too cute. And it's not necessarily from a predictable standpoint, but we know Andy Reid well enough now to think, okay, when they're in the red zone, the likelihood that we see something that's a little bit different is actually probably pretty high.
Yeah, and honestly, the getting cute stuff is historically not going to work in the red zone because it doesn't matter what you're throwing out there. The red zone is incredibly difficult to score in. Right? That's why they call it the red zone. The defense only has X amount of yards that they have to defend. They don't have to defend the whole field. So what are you altogether concerned about when they throw out all these different things and yeah, the ring around the rosy stuff and all that? Fun when it works, but when it doesn't work, it is what it is. And frankly, when we talk about getting cute or you know, whatever, hey, here's a thought. And it feels weird to make this complaint when you ran the ball 30 times with the man, but could you just hand it to the running back from under center every once in a while? Why does everything
working?
Why does everything have to be a throw in the red zone? Or if you are going to run the football, it's the shotgun RPO, whatever stuff. I get that the fun, sexy stuff is what got you to this point, but we've had this conversation again and again, and people keep bringing it up. Well, it's gotten them this far. I know that. We all know that. And by we, I mean us, Chiefs fans, NFL fans around the planet, and 31 other defensive coordinators in football. Sometimes you have to make changes, right? The cliche, adapt or die, cliches are cliches because they're true. Sometimes simple is better. In a certain sense.
Is some of it also like Andy just wants to flex a little bit? Like, I feel like some of that is just Andy's like, look what I can do, you know?
Look at what's going on in this noggin of mine.
You guys can't do this. Only I can do this. And let me show you how it's going to look. It's going to look different. It's going to be fun. And I'm going to show you that I'm the only guy that can come up with this. I think there's some of that there with Andy Reid a little bit where, you know, he's trying to, maybe it's unintentionally, because I think unintentionally we have tendencies. I think it's an unintentional tendency for Andy Reid to just get a little creative with things. And sometimes it doesn't have to be that way. And it actually is better when it's not that way.
Maybe it is that, you know, you can do those creative things, but don't only do them in the red zone, right? Because that's the only time that they do it, seemingly, is
that
in the red zone.
Interesting, fair point.
Could you do it on a 2nd and 4 from your own 38-yard line every once in a while, where it becomes a little bit less predictable about, like, you know that they're going to pull some tricks out?
Or on
but,
4th down. Like, don't yeah.
Yeah, don't always do it when you're inside the opponent's 5-yard line every once in a while. Getting away from some of the negative, and you know, that is one of the few negatives that we can look to from Sunday. There's been a lot of complaining about the defense, and there even was on Sunday. And I don't necessarily get it. The Chiefs defense is an elite unit. Still is. And Sunday showed that again. Steve Spagnuolo went full-blown classic in Spags We Trust. You know, somebody in the text line at the beginning of the show was talking about, does Steve Spagnuolo just like allow the opponent to do certain things in the first half to get them in a false sense of security and then flip the script on them in the second half? I don't necessarily think that's it. I think Spags goes with the game plan. They have their base set that they worked on all week and allow the, you know, hey, if they find something that works for them in the first half, okay, that's fine. And then we get into the second half and we dial it up, right? The first half, the game plan was very obvious. Limit Jonathan Taylor. Make Daniel Jones beat you. And if we're being honest with ourselves, in the first half, that's exactly what happened. Daniel Jones beat them in the first half. What do you do? Second half starts. okay? You've done your job of limiting Jonathan Taylor. You've put that thought into the back of Shane Steichen's mind, and you've made him a lot more hesitant to give Jonathan Taylor the football, which for any rational person seems insane to me. I don't care if Jonathan Taylor carried the ball 12 times for 12 yards in the first half. He's the NFL's leading rusher. I'm going to continue to give Jonathan Taylor the football, especially in a game that you're leading by double figures at one point.
Yeah, that didn't make any sense.
They just completely forgot about him. But that's what Spags wanted, right? Make life hard on Jonathan Taylor. Give Daniel Jones this false sense of, wow, look at all this time I have in the pocket. Look at all these different things. All they're doing is rushing four, and they're keying on the run, and they're trying to stop the deep passes and yada, yada, yada. Okay, second half starts. Hey, Shamari Connor, come off the edge here. Chris Roland Wallace, why don't you blitz a couple times? Drew Tranquil, here you go. Hey, we're going to drop Ashton Gelati on this 3rd and 12 and send two linebackers. Just Spags. You never know where it's coming from. And it flustered the hell out of Daniel Jones on Sunday. And if there's one thing, one complaint, if there is just one complaint I have about the Chiefs defense on Sunday, how did you walk away from that football game with no turnovers? He threw at least five what Pro Football Focus would call turnover-worthy passes, and you didn't pick off a one of them. I mean, the one especially, was that Roland Wallace and Nick Bolton maybe that, like, Daniel Jones threw one out into the flat, and they both were right there to pick that off.
It might have been Shamari Connor.
It was Shamari Connor, you're right, because if Shamari Connor picks it off, it's probably six, and they run right into each other. That seemingly has become somewhat of a thing with Nick Bolton. Was it the Chargers game, right? Week one in Sao Paulo, that him and Drew Tranquil ran into each other for what would have, either one of them would have had an easy pick, and one ran into the other, the ball hits the turf, and that's the only thing that I can really complain about with the Chiefs' defensive performance on Sunday. Was they dared Daniel Jones to beat him in the first half, limited Jonathan Taylor, which is what we all wanted to see. That's what we saw. And in the second half, you made them question giving Jonathan Taylor the football, pinned your ears back, and went after Daniel Jones. And what did it lead to? The defense won the football game for the offense on Sunday. No question about it. It's an elite unit. We can continue to complain about Steve Spagnuolo's defenses lacking the ability to generate turnovers, because that is a thing. But by God, they don't give up touchdowns.
I think that's what makes them, like, I think you can make the case, I don't know where Houston's defense sits, but if you were to take the two best defenses in the league, I think it's probably Denver and Kansas City, just from the standpoint of, because we looked it up yesterday, we didn't look up where Houston was, I don't think, but Denver and the Chiefs were both in the bottom five of turnovers created. And I think that goes to show you that if you're, because the offense we know has struggled, obviously, you know, Denver is the, in my mind, Denver's got the best defense in the league, but because, and forget the points per game stuff. Because if you can stone cold stop teams without forcing turnovers, you got the best defense in the league. Houston is very good, obviously, but they, in a way, some of them won't rely on turnovers. The Bears, they rely heavily on turnovers. When you're a defense that doesn't have to rely on turnovers and you're still as good as you are, that to me makes your defense the best in the league. And that's where Denver is at. That's why Kansas City is so good, because even if it's bending and not breaking, they find a way to get stops when they absolutely need to most. And it's been consistent that way for the last 3 years at least, where you can make an argument that the defense has won them a vast majority of the games in terms of percentage from the last 3 seasons, just from how the offense has looked and everything like that. If they had the 15th ranked defense, Logan, they're not winning at least a few of these games that we've seen. If they don't have a defense that's as good as they were last year, they're not making the Super Bowl. They're not even making it last season. If they had a defense this year that was ranked 15th, they are probably not making the playoffs this season. It feels like that's what the season potentially hinges on, is, hey, the offense, maybe they're eventually going to figure it out, but the defense is the strength of this team, and it's collective from the secondary to the linebackers. Obviously, Leo Chanel, we know how good he can be, and the freak athlete that he is. Tranquil, as Nate mentioned, was great. Chris Jones was outstanding. you're still wanting some more pass rush. I think that's still left to be desired, but it doesn't feel like that's something they're going to get this year. But it's made up for with the good coverage from Jalen Watson and Trent McDuffie. And it collectively is just the playmaking ability of this defense, where when they need a play to be made, whether it's a fourth down stop, whether it's a sack, whether it's a deflected pass, they're able to get it. It feels like 9 times out of 10, particularly over the last few weeks.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about it. And then the last point I want to bring up here in the Chiefs Red Half Hour, brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. The playoff hopes are still alive. You know, I am not as confident as, say, Ross Tucker, who was on the show with us earlier, who said that he's at about an 8.5 for the Chiefs making the playoffs. I said last week that I didn't think they were going to make the playoffs. I said that. Hand up, I admitted that. I still am not super confident that they will make the playoffs, but I think the door is open, right? It's cracked. It's not fully off the hinges or anything just yet. But, you know, I think that there are opportunities. You know, I look around the league, Chiefs at 6-5, Chargers and Jags both sitting at 7-4, Houston at 6-5. You know, problem is, the way things stand right now, you lose tiebreakers as it sits at the moment. Now, you have an opportunity to get the tiebreaker over Houston with the head-to-head, and it won't matter. But you currently lose a tiebreaker with the Pittsburgh Steelers because they have a better record in AFC games than the Chiefs do. So that's why you're behind Pittsburgh, and you're the 10 at the moment. But you beat Houston. Yep. You've got the head-to-head over them, so you'll leapfrog them. You beat the Chargers in this upcoming matchup, and they've sputtered, let's face it, as of late. Then that tiebreaker is more or less negated. You still have a chance, but you have to beat Houston. You have to beat the Chargers. I'm going to go right out and say it. I think the Chiefs have to win every single game from here on out, aside from this one. If you could pick a game where you're like, hey, the Chiefs have to lose a game, who's it going to be? It has to be the Dallas Cowboys. Mm. Because it's an NFC team, so it doesn't hurt your AFC record right now, which the Chiefs are 3-4 against AFC teams. The Steelers are 5-2. The Texans are 5-2. The Bills and the Ravens are the two teams currently in the playoff picture in the AFC that have the worst record against the AFC, and they're both 4-3. So, I think they need to win this game on Sunday. I think they need to get the ball rolling on for the rest of the season. But if you're going to lose a game, I think it has to be this one. And then you have to beat Houston, and you have to beat the Chargers the second time you play them. You know, the door's still open with Indianapolis because they've got three really tough matchups in their last six. You know, they've got two games against the Titans. They should win both of those. Mm. They've got a game left against the New York Jets, which they should obviously win. But they've got to play the Colts twice, and they've got to play the Broncos in Denver. And that's a Week 16 game in Denver. So, likely, the Broncos are still going to be playing all their guys, especially if they continue to win and they're right there in the hunt for a one seed, potentially. They're going to need to continue to stack together W's. So I think Jacksonville still has three losses left on their schedule, which would put them at a 10-7 football team, which means in order for you to pass them, you have to go 11-6 because they got the head-to-head on you. Mm-hmm. Chargers at 7-4. You look at the Raiders coming up this week. They should win that game. The Eagles at home. That's a night game, Monday Night Football. That's a game they should lose. You beat them when they come to Arrowhead here on December 14th. You win that game. All of a sudden, that's an 8-6 football team. You lose to the Cowboys, okay, but you beat Houston. You beat LA. You're also an 8-6 football team. Things get a lot more interesting for you from there. Then they close out with a road game against the Cowboys, at home against the Texans, on the road against the Broncos.
That's tough. It's tough.
I don't think LA is getting in. That's your best shot.
If I had to pick a team, yeah, I would agree that the Chargers are going to be the one to fall out just with all the injuries and the schedule and stuff. But it feels like we're going to be, even if they beat the Cowboys, if they lose to Houston, they're right back in the exact same boat. You can't lose again. And I think that we're just going to be on that all the way until, I mean, shoot, if it's the last 2 weeks of the season and they lose to Denver, you got to beat the Raiders. And I know that it's the Raiders, but the Raiders are going to, you don't think the Raiders are going to get up for that game? You don't think Max Crosby is going to be fired up more than ever for that game? We can eliminate the Chiefs from the playoffs.
Yeah, you can stop them from getting in to the postseason.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot on the line. It feels like all the way down to the very last second of the regular season.
Yeah, dear God, I do not like giving the Las Vegas Raiders something to play for. Like, this would be much better if the Chiefs were to somehow run the gambit here, beat the Cowboys, Texans, Chargers, Titans, Broncos, and be sitting there at 11-5 all of a sudden and say the Jags do lose three games and the Chargers have been kicked down. They're a 10-win football team heading into week 18 and you're in the playoffs. Okay, the Raiders then have nothing to play for. The last thing I need is the Chiefs waltzing in at 10-6, needing to beat LA to get into the postseason, or beat Vegas to get into the postseason, because that's exactly what they're looking for.
Somebody mentioned this, and I think we might be able to get to this later on in the show. Somebody asked from the 402, at what point do we start to ask Pat to play like Pat? It's been a while.
Valid point, man.
I think that's an interesting one. Maybe it takes the defense giving up. I don't know. It feels like we haven't seen that in a while. I think I agree with that. He hasn't had to, in fairness, because the defense has been so good. But when I don't know if we asked that question or when that comes up next. Yeah. I think this is an interesting conversation. We might be able to talk about that later today or maybe tomorrow we can get to it.
Absolutely. 913-586-7965. Drew Nixon producing today's program. No Cody, no Alex. Logan Weber in here with you. Coming up, we are going to get into what's trending, as well as a little conversation about Damian Pierce. That's coming up next on Cody and Gold, 96.5 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.